Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another Believe in Wizards podcast. I'm Matt, he's Damo, and we're going to talk through draft picks, everybody 1 through 30-ish, you know, who the Wizards could realistically take. We're going to focus more so on the guys that are actually playing in the NCAA tournament. So if you're here for Nikola Topic talk, probably not going to get a ton of that today. Just with the tournament coming up, kind of a good way to preview guys the Wizards fans should pay attention to. But first of all, Damo, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. Just kind of winding my day down from the work week, from the work day. But yeah, just chilling, man.
I'm stealing him right after work here, so I appreciate you making time to do this. I'm getting ready to head out to the tournament later in the week here, so I wanted to fit this in beforehand. Thanks. So people have something to listen to before they watch a little bit. So yeah, well, hopefully we can get people comfortable here. If you are not already subscribed to the Wizards of Gallery Place podcast that Damo and Brendan do, it's terrific. You guys should do that. You should have been doing that a long time ago, so go rectify that right now. And as always, we're brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside hard iced teas, hard lemonades, hard everythings. I say this every week, but the more Wizards games we watch with Bilal out, I'm going to need more of them to drink. And we're brought to you by Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, UFC, tennis, NCAA tournament, all that good stuff. It's the fastest and easiest way to place all your wagers, including live betting in your favorite casino and card games. Head to the website and use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, so Damo, if the season ended right now, the Wizards would have the top odds at the number one pick. So I don't know. We're never that lucky, it feels like. So I feel like we'll be somewhere in the top three. So just maybe of the guys that are actually going to be in the NCAA tournament here, are there any of them you would actually feel good about taking, like using a top three pick on, essentially?
Yeah, this draft is so tough because it's one of the ones where like there's no obvious or consensus top three or top two guy that you look at and you say, okay, yeah, I could definitely see him being a 20 point per game cornerstone player. So it's kind of just like you're kind of parsing through and just kind of taking the best guy you think has a chance to develop into that. Mm-hmm. Initially, when I first looked at the guys, I had Cody Williams one, and I think I'm going to stay there.
Okay, I like that.
Because when I watch him, I just see the least amount of holes in his game. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have any particular great skill.
Sure.
But he doesn't have any huge hole either. So I think I would fit in a draft like this, I would feel most comfortable with him going to us at one if that was the pick we landed on.
The pedigree doesn't help. Obviously, you're high on Jalen Williams, his older brother, who Jalen was kind of a late bloomer, but Cody's been a guy that, you know, McDonald's All-American. Like, he was kind of top 10 guy going into the year here a little bit and kind of had the ups and downs. He's been injured a little bit and struggled through times. I think Colorado's kind of underachieved for the year, so maybe that's hurt his profile a little bit. But if they made a little noise in the tournament and he has a good couple games, this is a guy that you might see kind of jump back up the boards here. And it's not like he's really far. He's 7 on the rookie scale consensus mock draft right now. So he's still somewhere in that sort of first tier guys, I would say.
Right.
So anyone not familiar with Cody, he'll be like 19 and a half on draft night. He's about 6'7"-ish as a wing. Can do a little creation. I don't think he's anywhere near the ball handler that Jalen is right now, but he's also a couple years younger than when Jalen got drafted. So I think that's something, you know, you can work on and improve. And like you said, there's no like, hey, this guy sucks at this. Whereas like the last couple drafts, some of the guys in that 4, 5, 6 range had like one major hole, like the Thompson twins.
Yeah,
literally can't shoot. Like Cody doesn't have any of that.
No. Yeah. The Thompson twins. Yeah. Like you got everything else athletically, handle, vision, passing, all of that. But I mean, they might as well be a center on the court. I just think Cody, man, like his shot mechanics look good. He looks like he can do it off the bounce, off the catch. He wears a lot of hats for Colorado. Like I think that's why you see some of the up and down play with the injuries, like, cause they ask him to do a bunch of different things depending on the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that speaks to his skill level. And he's going to get the NBA tutelage with his older brother already being in the league. And by the time he gets in, you know, Jalen will be going into year 3. So, I think that gives him probably an advantage over some of these other prospects coming in.
And Jalen's also like hulked out in the last 2 years, I feel like, too. Yes. Like, so that's hope that Cody could fill out similarly. And he just sort of like looks the part of a guy who could be a starting 3 on a playoff team for a long time. And you can never have too many wings, in my opinion. So I'm not mad at that at all.
Yeah.
Big J52 asked in the chat here, is there any chance to trade out for a 1 or a 2 year super stud already playing in an NBA system? I don't think they're going to trade out for a player. I have heard a little rumbling that they're going to like fully kick the tires on trading that first pick to get out of this year's top 5 if, you know, they can't get someone that they're absolutely enamored with. So whether that's realistic or not, that's sort of something I've heard informally and anecdotally from people. So we'll see. I think the team's coverage of the draft will tell us just exactly how much interest they have in some of these things. So that'll be kind of, something to pay attention to, I think, here. But I can't see them trading for like somebody that went, you know, top 10 last year or something with a top 5 pick. Like if they can get their guy, they'll get him, or they're going to try to get, you know, another pick in next year's draft would be my guess.
Yeah, that could be interesting. Like if they could, maybe would you, I think I was asking Brennan this, would you rather have a top 5 pick in this draft or 2 lottery picks in next year's draft?
I think I would take 2 lottery picks in next year's draft. Now, like maybe if you get number 1 and there's a guy you absolutely love, that's a different story. But you know, they can see where they are with the lottery and kind of make their decision based on that. If you end up 3 and you only really love 2 guys, I wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about trading down for this year at all for 2 picks potentially? So there are a couple teams in here that'll likely have, I think, kind of 2 early first round picks. Like, I want to say Portland has 2 lottery picks right now. They're currently slated to go 7th and 13th in terms of odds. Would you trade 1 for 7 and 13?
You get down to 7. I mean, looking at this consensus board, if Cody is there a 7, yeah,
right,
I would.
Right.
I don't think the drop from one to seven is drastic in this class. So
yeah,
I mean, I would if that's how the board fell and you got intel that, you know, you could still get the guy you would have took at one at seven, for sure. Turn that card in.
I think these guys, just based on what they did with Bilal and the way they're stockpiling second round picks, are going to try to be aggressive about getting their guy. So I think you nailed it with the, if they think they can get their guy, they'll do it. But I also don't think they'd risk it. So like if there's a chance their guy could go five, you know, I don't think they'd drop down to something like seven, regardless of, you know, what other guys are in that tier, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So just a couple other names here in like the general range we're talking about. So the highest NCAA prospect on the consensus mock draft right now is Kentucky's Reed Sheppard at four, which is kind of crazy to me. I think he'll be a very good player. And I think he's a very like safe, this guy will come in and be solid. But I don't know, taking Grayson Allen on steroids fourth overall in any draft would just kind of, that would break me. Like if we fall to four and that's the guy we take that early, I would not love that return personally.
Yeah, I'm not doing. I can't. I've been trying to kind of talk myself into him as a top three prospect. I can't do it, man. And I don't even care if I end up wrong on this. Like I can't do it. It just goes against, you know, checkboxes I look for as far as that type of elite prospect, top of the drive. Even in a weak class, like, mm-hmm. you know, because I was banging the table 2013. Like, okay, this is a weak class. Just trade back. Like you don't. Mm-hmm. Don't have to take the role player just because. So, yeah, I can't get myself to do it. Now, if he shows up to the combine and he's got like a 6'8 wingspan and 40-inch vert, right. you know, and he in the 5-on-5s killing, then that changes everything for me. But until I see that, I can't do it, man.
This is one of those things that I struggle with where, like, I'm pretty convinced he'll be a very good player.
Like, no doubt about it.
Have a nice long career, just fit in kind of anywhere you need him. And I feel the same way about Dillingham, his teammate. So that's six on the consensus mock draft. So same thing for anybody not familiar, Rob Dillingham, kind of a 6-foot-ish super creator scorer. But it's just sort of like the one position guys for me. Like maybe Reed can guard ones and twos, but he's not a one offensively. And the bigger twos, I think he will struggle with. So he basically has to be a two on offense who guards ones for most of his career. And maybe that's like an old fashioned way to look at it, but it just, you're sort of limited when you take that kind of guy. And if you get to a point where like he's clearly the most talented in your opinion, then you take him and you don't worry about it. But if I were 50-50 on him and Cody Williams or Jacoby Walter or somebody else, like, you know, I would do that if it's a guy I think could play multiple positions given their size.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that positional versatility, man, I think it just seems like every year the league is kind of, you know, being selective for height, like more mm-hmm. and more.
Yeah.
It's just the guys that are under 6'5", even now, I feel like are less and less impactful. It's like 6'5" and up.
Right. Yeah, it's tough. You know?
It is what it is.
Robert Miller said in the chat, Reed's listed wingspan is 6'3", but it's unconfirmed, so who knows? That would be tough. If you're 6'2" with an even or neutral wingspan, you need a lot of intangibles to make up for that, let's just say.
And the skill level got to be like, I mean, Steph, Kyrie, Bane type to justify that.
Yeah. And like, I guess all the, like analytics say he's been very good defensively. I've definitely watched certain games though where teams are trying to pick on him and trying to go at him. And I don't think that's totally his fault because sometimes he's playing out there with other, you know, undersized guards or sometimes even three other guards. So
yeah,
I think Dillingham, yeah, like Dillingham is objectively a very bad defender in my opinion.
Yes.
Reed is probably a good one, but it's also like there are other guys for teams to pick on when Reed is out there too. So maybe they don't pick on him the same way, but on an NBA court, someone will go at him literally every single possession, I think. And then that's a question of does he hold up the same way against, you know, those elite guards with elite quickness and elite athleticism every possession? And I don't know that I see that.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a little different when you got to guard Ja Morant.
Right. Right. Not that anybody can really guard him, but you know, you got to at least be solid enough there to make up for it. Whereas like Dillingham is so elite offensively that maybe you're just willing to say, well, he'll be the worst defender on the court at all times, but we can live with that. So I think you're a little higher on Dillingham than I am. For anybody who hasn't seen his game, what's sort of the breakdown?
Yeah, I mean, he's a bucket, man. I mean, in the mode of like a Kemba Walker, a Darius Garland, those herky jerky tiny guards. I've seen some people throw out the Trae Young. I don't see that from the playmaking standpoint, but as a scorer, maybe. He doesn't shoot it as much from range as Trae did in Oklahoma, but he can shoot it. I mean, he's a really good shooter. You know, but again, like you said, he's going to be the worst defender on the floor. You have to draft him knowing that, and knowing that it's likely not going to change because he's not going to gain 30 pounds of muscle.
Yep.
Not going to grow 5 inches. He's going to be 6'1" and some change, maybe about 180, soaking wet with his shoes on. So that's what you got.
You know, it takes,
so you better have a defender next to him.
Yeah, four of them next to him, right? Like it's the old Allen Iverson, like Sixers setup where you just got four dudes that'll lock down around him.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the playmaking there. Do you think there's enough playmaking for him to be like a primary on ball kind of guy? Like this is the Jordan Poole conversation, and there's a lot of Poole Dillingham comps in the chat. But like when Poole is creating for others enough, like, okay, it's easier to let him be kind of the guy with the ball in his hands. But do you see Dillingham being able to do that enough to justify like kind of giving him the keys for stuff?
Yeah. So coming out of high school, no, I didn't. But seeing how he's kind of progressed at Kentucky, and then I watched a recent interview with Calipari, and he kind of talked about how he coaches Dillingham different. Like he doesn't let Dillingham kind of make those mistakes and just stay in the game. Like he'll pull him out of the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he wants him to kind of play a more controlled game. Because I think he believes that's going to help him on the next level. Because obviously he's not going to be able to play the two guard on the next level. He's going to be a point guard. He's going to have to play that position. And you look at his assist to turnover ratio, his playmaking splits. Like I think he can do it, man, because he's such a threat scoring the ball, his jump shot, and he's so quick with the ball getting to his spots. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to create easier passing lanes for him. And he just got to make the right read. I think he can do it, especially in the league now with the spacing. It's no real hand checking, a lot of pick and roll. I definitely think he can do it for sure. And I trust the Kentucky guard pedigree. I mean, Tyrese Maxey wasn't a point guard.
It's true.
But you see him now, he's an all-star playing that position. So
I resisted this for so long of like the Kentucky guard thing. And I would always throw out like, well, the Harrison twins didn't work out or Tyler Ulis didn't work out. And now there are so many of them, like I have to shut up because it's just when you're a factory and you produce that many, like, okay, the couple guys we can like explain away is one thing. So I guess if you're the Wizards and you're on the clock, let's say, at number four, and both Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham are available, which one would you be more likely to take of the two if you were the Wizards?
It's going to be a quick card turn-in for Dillingham for me.
Okay.
Because I just think he's the closest to what I see in the NBA as a shot creator, a shot maker. And you know, those are the guys that get the max contracts. Whether it's the right or wrong thing, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's the Trae Youngs, the Darius Garlands, like I said before that, Kemba, the Kyries, if you want to go there with that type of skill set. Like, those are the guys that get paid, man. You got to be able to put the ball in the hoop. So that's where I would lean.
We'll maybe get to this guy a little bit later on here, but just maybe we'll just stay on the Kentucky guards here for a second. I think, you know, those guys have played their way into lottery picks for sure. I kind of still like DJ Wagner. Like, he hasn't been great, but I actually think he's been the best defensively of the three. And he's had to be a little more off ball than maybe I think he's suited to do. I think he's also the youngest of the three, so has a little more room to grow. He's probably only like 6'2" and a half, but
yeah,
he's right now, he's 36 on this consensus mock draft. Yeah. I think some team is going to at like 24 just say like, hey, we're taking a shot on DJ Wagner and the pedigree there, that he'll just come in and turn into something. And I think I'd be more interested in that almost at 24 or wherever the Wizards pick, you know, later in the first round than I would either of these other guys at 3 or something like that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he was the number one in his class, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Right?
And now everybody said it was like the worst high school class in the history of high school classes. So take that with a grain of salt, I guess.
Right, right. I mean, I remember watching him and I was just like, he doesn't look like a typical, like, number one in the class type player. Mm-hmm. You know, usually I'm used to seeing like a monster looking, you know, guy, yeah, exactly. Dunking everything.
Ace Bailey or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he was nice, obviously, but he didn't look like, you know, he didn't look like a Cade Cunningham or, you know, Cooper Flagg type player. But yeah, I think there's definitely some upside there. I just don't know what his position is right now on the next level because, you know, he's slight of build and he's not really a point and he's not really a two either because he's so tiny. So he's going to have to figure out kind of where he fits on the next level to stick around.
That makes sense. All right. So other guys that could go in this general range. So this person, 13 on consensus mock draft, but I think you and I are both a little higher on him than this at the very least. And that's UConn's Steph Castle. He'll be just, you know, like 19 and a half-ish on draft night. A 6'5" sort of playmaking wing. I see him listed as a wing some places, and I think this is very much a guy that will like exclusively be an on-ball creator in the NBA. Maybe not right away, but I don't think this is like a Dyson Daniels situation where he has to be more of an off-ball secondary kind of guy. Like, I think the vision for him is and he's not skilled enough to be this comp yet, but like an SGA is the blueprint a team is going to draft him at, like a guy that will be a big point guard for them. So, you know, we both like him, but Dama, what's the sales pitch for Steph Castle?
Yeah, so I had him initially third on my board. I got him 2 now.
Okay,
so like that. Up.
There you go.
I just think he has everything. Like I was saying with Cody, Cody has no weakness. I think the one with Castle is just the jump shot.
Sure.
But when I think size for position, shot creation, defense, the rebounding, you know, he gets in passing lane. I mean, he just bones up defensively, almost kind of like a Jimmy Butler. With Jimmy Butler's size, you know, like for his traps.
As a guard. Like,
he already, he looked like he done already seen a couple NBA weight rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. He's an elite athlete. He would be an elite athlete at his position at either spot, whether you put him at the wing or at the point guard spot. He's an elite athlete. The only question mark is the jump shot. And I think that's just going to take some reps. I think that's probably the easiest skill you can probably teach for a guy like him. So, yeah, I'm all over Steph Castle. I would run to the podium for him.
A couple just absolutely disrespectful comments in the chat here. So Fabulous Results said Steph Castle equals Johnny Davis 2.0.
Oh, God.
This is ruthless. And then Robert Miller asks Andre Roberson 2.0 or is he better? Come on, guys. Like, what are we doing here?
I get it though. I get it. It's the PTSD of drafting guys that historically don't shoot it well and kind of hoping and praying that they can somehow add a jump shot. And then when it never happens, like a Troy Brown Jr., it's like, well, what are you left with? You just got a guy with potential. Mm-hmm. It never comes to fruition. But I think Castle is a different type of prospect.
It's also a guy that had spent a good amount of the year battling back from an injury at the beginning here. I want to say to a wrist, if I remember correctly. That could be wrong because I'm kind of all these guys run together in terms of their injuries and stuff. But this is a team that just didn't need him to be a takeover primary initiator. When you have Tristan Newton, that's, you know, an elite Big East guard, nobody's going to ask him to be, you know, the on-ball guy most of the time here. And then you're playing him next to Cam Spencer, who needs the ball a lot. And I mean, they're running their offense like through post-up bigs. It's just, they were never going to maximize the sort of other things he does super well for them. So he's just kind of leaned into being like, cool, I'm the defensive guy, ball mover, you know, transition weapon. And I think that has to play into this. Like, context matters. If you just look at him, like, I really want to talk to Kevin Broome about him at some point, because like his Yoda analytics are not going to be favorable to Steph Castle, I don't think, because of the shooting. But he's an elite athlete, and you know, I wouldn't want to have to like try to guard the guy. You know what I mean? Like, just staying in front of him, I think, is going to be tough. Whereas, so he asks again, is ball mover the guy you want? I think what we're both saying here is that he's not just a secondary or tertiary creator. We think he is a primary on ball playmaker, like a number one facilitator type guy for an NBA team. If you don't see him that way, then I wouldn't take him that early. But I think that's, okay, and then said never proved he could be more than that. Again, the context is like, when do these guys ever prove that they can be a lead guard in the NBA their entire career? Like, it's just, you're not going to get that from a freshman on the best, deepest team in the country. I think that's sort of an unrealistic expectation.
And Shea, if I remember correctly, was Shea a freshman coming out or sophomore?
Shea came out as a freshman also.
He's a freshman.
And they're, Their stats are pretty comparable for their per 36. So that's another thing. The shooting,
because Castle to me is more like the third ball handler on that team.
Yeah. You could even make the case for fourth, like Alex Carabair and their power forward.
Yeah.
You know,
and even with that, he's still giving you three assists.
Sure.
So that, I mean, that kind of tell you right there, like if I'm making him a high usage guard in the league with more spacing and, you know, what would he average? You know, because he's not getting, he doesn't have that role at UConn. So I can't hold that against him.
And like I think this is where maybe the SGA comp breaks down a little bit too, because like Shea shot better too, but he also had the ball in his hands, played with more opportunity to get a rhythm. Like Hamidou Diallo wasn't stealing on ball reps away from SGA. Jared Vanderbilt wasn't stealing on ball reps away for him. Kevin Knox wasn't really stealing on-ball reps away from him. So I just don't think, you know, that's sort of where I would say. But defensively, I think he's elite. I think he comes in right away and just guards anybody. And putting him next to Bilal in a backcourt, I just, good luck to teams 3-4 years down the road trying to score on those two guys together.
Yeah, no fly zone, man. It ain't happening. You ain't, whoever is our center going forward, they won't have to help as much. I know that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited. So I mentioned headed to the tournament here, and we're going to be in Brooklyn. So we're going to see UConn in person. So I've not seen Steph Castle in person this year. So looking forward to that. But also his teammate Donovan Clingan is projected to be lottery pick-ish. Let's say for whatever reason, the Wizards did drop down. I see routinely, you probably get this too. Oh, the Wizards need to draft a center. We got to take somebody. If they don't get an Alex Saar or something like that in a top three couple pick, let's say they did trade down later in the lottery. I'm not totally sold on a Donovan Clingan type myself. I'd rather maybe take a guy you could get in the mid-20s who's probably not as big a drop. For me, Clingan is just a drop coverage big who probably never stretches the floor, but I think he'd be an elite rim protector. But he's also been hurt a lot, kind of fragile, conditioning still needs some work, things like that. So I would be a little wary of taking him, you know, in the 10 through 14 kind of range.
Yeah. I think he's going to go in that range just because I think he does it. I don't think he's going to get past OKC.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because they need some size, and they'll probably
put him next to Chet. Just shoot over that shit.
Put him next to Chet. Yeah. But I mean, somebody that I would like. I mean, if we're going to that, say if we was to move down, I like the kid Ware from Indiana.
Okay.
Because he's got that size, but he's athletic and he can shoot it, man. Like I like bigs that can shoot it a little bit. So that's probably where I would lean. But I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it if somehow, you know, Clingan was the pick at some point, you know, after the top 10 spots, yeah. Say we grab an extra pick or something and he was the pick.
I've kind of leaned like the last couple of years on, unless you think a big is like generational, you don't take them with like a top 5 pick. But if you have a pick later on in the draft and you just need like a serviceable, you know, fill in the blank kind of here center. Like I think that makes a little bit more sense to me. Khalil Ware out of Indiana is an interesting one because this was a dude that I watched him play a good amount in high school because I loved Nick Smith and they played together. And that was also just kind of hilarious because Ware didn't really have to do a whole lot and also just seemed okay to coast. And he'd be guarded by like a 6'5", like chubby white dude. And then all of a sudden he'd like do this crazy shit, like break him down on the perimeter, drive by and like dunk people's souls out of their body, and you'd be like, whoa, okay, that guy could do that every possession if he wanted to. So he's had moments this year. It's just like the lack of consistency that makes me a little nervous about him. And it never makes no sense, said in the chat, Ware has so many character red flags, can't imagine they go after him. You know, I don't know about character red flags. I don't know that but you know, the inconsistent motor thing would worry about. I would be a thing I worry about a little bit. You hear a lot of times with the big guys, like, do they love basketball or are they just tall? Where's like one of those guys? Like, I kind of get those vibes from a little bit.
So kind of like a Christian Wood.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think he'll still be probably better and more consistent than that. But like maybe a guy that always kind of teases you and never like fully lives up to the potential his skill set, you know, would indicate.
Yeah. I'm just looking at him strictly from a skill set standpoint.
Bulls, you can't do much better than that.
Yeah, like I'm like, okay, 7 feet, 220, can stretch, can rebound, block shots. Like, seem like a prospect to me. But yeah, the intangible piece, that's definitely important. So hopefully he gets a vet, man, and gets on the right team, and he can have a long career.
So he's projected about 20 right now on this consensus mock. And again, if the draft was tomorrow, the Wizards would be their second first round pick would be 24. I think if he's on the board for you at 24, hey, you roll the dice with that and you just take a shot at it. And if it doesn't work out, like it's the 24th pick. And, you know, worst case, you just need him to be like Daniel Gafford level. And then you've sort of won that trade at the very least. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't be mad at that at all. All right. So just the next couple names here in the lottery of guys playing in the NCAA tournament. One of them is not. I was going to say Isaiah Collier, but he's a college guy, so maybe we'll talk about him anyway. So they've got Jacoby Walter, 9, Isaiah Collier, 10, and Dalton Connect, 11. For Walter and Connect are kind of the same kind of dude to me. Like, they maybe only guard 1-2 positions max in the NBA. Yeah. I don't think either of them will be like plus defenders. And I don't think they create it really for other guys. They're just going to become like, come in and be solid bucket getters for you. If I were a team like Philly and I could find a way to get one of those guys, I would love that shit. If I'm the Wizards and you need them to like have more potential to grow into more, obviously one's a freshman and one, I don't know how old Connect is. I think he's 23, like different guys, but right. He feels like that. He's college 30. Those are just kind of two guys that, and again, unless we're in that like trade down scenario, they wouldn't really be on my board if I were the Wizards at this point.
Yeah, I saw a comp for Jacoby Walter to KCP. I'm like, you know what? That's not bad. Like 6'5", wing, not really a 2, not really a 3, kind of just, you know, shooter. Although I think KCP had a little more in his bag as a scorer coming out.
I think so too.
He just kind of, you know, matured into that 3-and-D role. But like, Walter looks like he's that 3-and-D like right now.
Yeah,
I agree. Or maybe like a, I don't know, maybe without the defense, maybe like a Tim Hardaway Jr. type, you know, just come in, knock down some shots from the perimeter off the catch. But not somebody you're giving the ball to and telling them to, you know, hey, run my offense, make these guys better. Like, nah, that's not, you're going to be disappointed. I mean, I guess they would be bodies. I mean, you can't go wrong adding a 6'5 plus shooter. It just wouldn't be, I just wouldn't be the biggest fan of a draft like that. Not if that's our only, pick in the top 20. Nah.
Yeah. I would not be super excited about that. Fabulous Results said in the chat, don't let Dalton Connect fall to the Heat though. Spo will turn him into an all-star, and the Heat do pick 15. That's right around where he slotted to go. So
he's a Heat type of player, though.
Yeah,
like he's that. Yeah,
they can make that work.
Type of player.
All right, so let's transition to their other pick here at 24. I'm just gonna like run through a list of names here and just see if there are any that really kind of stand out to you. So at 17, they've got Baylor's Eve Missy. Let's see, Jared McCain out of Duke, freshman guard. Khalil Ware, we talked about. Kansas's Kevin McCullough is slotted on here at 21. Kansas's Johnny Furphy at 23. Virginia's Ryan Dunn at 24. When we did our mock draft the other week, your guy you took for the Wizards at 24 or 25 at the time was Kaishan George out of Miami. He's on here 25. They currently have Pitt's Bub Carrington or Carlton Carrington from Baltimore here at 26. Immediately after losing in the ACC tournament, Carrington said he's going to be back next year. Also, wouldn't be the first time we've heard a kid say immediately after losing a tournament game, he's coming back and then change his mind. Right. So I think we consider him for these purposes. But and then they have Justin Edwards out of Kentucky, kind of a swingman. Any of those names stand out more to you, or a couple of those names that you want to talk about here that you would be interested in?
Yeah, I mean, I already mentioned where I'll say for sure. Kaishan George, because that was a guy I liked when we did our mock. I mean, he's 6'9", point forward.
Yeah.
Maybe so. Point guard, maybe. Yep. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he can shoot it, man. Like, he got off the dribble, too. Just, like, come down, straight pull up right in your eye. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at 6'9", I mean, that's
not
a lot of guys that can do that. And he does it very comfortably. So, I think his role there in Miami is kind of he's not getting to show his whole bag over there.
They were a weird team this year too. Like, it just sort of never really panned out for them, I think, the way people expected it to.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like the idea of getting somebody like him with that pick 24, 25, wherever it lands. Because that's a guy that can wear a lot of hats, and you already know he got a jump shot. And then I like Bub Carrington, man. Baltimore kid, I mean, just seeing him play recently like that, he was trying to carry it for the guys, but he just didn't have enough help. But I mean, his own ball creation ability at 6'5", and I think he would be one of the youngest kids in this draft. I think he's still high school age. He's 18, if I'm not mistaken.
He would be 18.9 years old on draft night. So he would be one of the few 18-year-olds.
Yeah, and just like his on-ball creation ability. That kid to me, I think he's saying now he's coming back, but I think he's gonna hear back from the committee, and I think he's gonna enter his name. I just think for what he does at his size, that skill set at 18 years old, I think he's probably going to end up a top 20 pick.
Yeah, I think so too. And I guess that's really the question. Like, if you think you're in like the 20s, the early 20s, do you go back next year in a more loaded draft? Like, obviously your stock will probably go up when you show another year, but you've also got more competition. So to me, if I could guarantee I'm going 22nd or something like that, I think I would just take it and start my NBA career and keep it moving.
Yeah.
All right. Any other names in that range? Okay. So this may be a guy we're not on the same page about as much, but Ryan Dunn is maybe the worst offensive player in this draft, but he's also probably the best defensive player.
Defender. Yeah.
To me, that's a guy I would be willing to take a shot on in this 24 kind of range for sure, because he has all the physical tools. It wouldn't be the first time that we've seen this UVA system like just dreadful to watch offensively and like slowest pace in the country, basically, just kind of kill a guy's offensive value. And then they get to the NBA and it's like, oh shit, he can do more things here. Like you even saw it with like Trey Murphy. Now, like Trey Murphy had a flamethrower. He just was tentative about shooting it. But I don't know. He just transition weapon. He's a really good cutter. He's smart. I don't think this shot is like broken. So could you turn him into OG and an OB in 3-4 years? Like, that's a gamble I would take at 24, 25, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, his defense is like, I mean, I'm sure they're probably up there with like Thybulle as far as like the defensive advanced numbers, because it's crazy the stuff he does defensively. But I'm looking, I didn't realize, okay, so he's kind of an older sophomore because he's 21.
Right, exactly.
So he's really like the age of a junior.
A lot of these guys are going to be like 20, even the freshmen. I think everyone just seems older now at this point, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would just, it's one of them, like, if they can get his shot right, by all means. But, man, I would just hate, you know, we draft a 21-year-old and then we look up, he's 25 at the back end of that rookie deal and he still can't shoot. It's like, oh, you know, we need two-way players. But I don't know. I mean, he could definitely defend, man. Now, that dude could guard his ass off.
You would have to get him like Denny's shooting coach tomorrow and start that process like immediately and just hope that you can have some similar progress in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
All right. So in the chat, Andrew C. Said, can we just draft Justin Edwards, then hire some coaches who can develop him into – Anthony, I'm assuming that's Anthony Edwards, maybe. But I think you've suggested Justin Edwards as a guy that, hey, if he's available kind of late first, like the upside is there. And this is a guy that had the high school pedigree. So I don't know. You're still kind of feeling the Edwards move here.
Yeah, 5-star prospect in high school, All-American. So, I mean, you know, I just like when his game to me, I don't know. He just doesn't look as dominant as I remember watching him in high school. Like it's kind of like what we were talking about with Griffin.
AJ Griffin. Yeah.
AJ Griffin. Yeah. Like I don't know if he had an injury or what, but he just doesn't look like the same explosive athlete. Maybe it's just going up, you know, going up a level in competition. He still got the shot. You know, he was known as a shooter, but I thought he was going to be more athletic.
Same.
There at Kentucky, and I don't really see that. He just seems more of like a spot up guy to me, but I mean, I wouldn't mind it.
He's also 20, will be a 20 and a half years old on draft night as a freshman, so he's an old freshman,
yeah,
so basically. He's
sophomore age, yeah, yeah.
That's that's one that would scare me a little bit. Now, this is the kind of thing with, we saw Tennessee's Julian Phillips last year, similar pedigree guy that fell. If you had a guy like that at like 35 or something, now I'm a little more interested. But yeah, even with like the 24th pick, I think I would still probably be a little scared away from that personally.
Yeah.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's see. Other couple guys in this range. Colorado's Justin De Silva, small forward, already kind of 23. Marquette's Oso Ighodaro, kind of an undersized five at 22. Zach Edey at 22 years old, probably the best player in college basketball, but just not a guy I would draft personally, no matter how productive he is. Would you in any way consider, if we need a big at 24, would you take a Zach Edey? And just see if the production translates in some way.
Nah, not at his age. Nah, I can't do anything with that. If he was 20 or 19 putting up his numbers at that size, then yeah. But I mean, he's 300 pounds, right?
He's a big boy. Yeah, I think so.
Nah, I'm good.
He's in weirdly good shape. They all talk about how he's the best conditioned guy on the Purdue team, and he's worked hard to do that. He's got pretty good touch. I wouldn't be shocked, you know, if he shot like decently well at some point. But to me, he's like a third center for you. So would you draft a third center, you know, this early in the draft? Like, I would swing a little higher personally.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
Like, if you were going to take a big in this range, Dayton's Deron Holmes is slotted at 32 here. I would take Holmes 10 out of 10 times before I would take Edie. He's probably about the same age, actually. They're about both going to be about 22 on draft night. But Holmes is 6'10", super athletic. He's really good defensively. And I'll buy his stretch potential at some point long term here, too.
Yeah, he can move his feet. I just can't. I can't do 7 feet, 300 pounds, 22 years old. Every time he get out there on the switch, it's going to be expose him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to expose him.
Does the, like, I don't know, instant impact of like a Walker Kessler or someone like that, who's just a big drop coverage guy who can protect the rim but can't switch at all, does that give you any more confidence in a guy like Edie being able to come in and at least play some amount right away?
Nah, because I don't see the defensive instincts like that. Like Kessler Walker, I mean, his shot blocking, I mean, his per 36 shot blocking was like 5 a game.
Weirdly still went at him, though. Like, nobody really goes at Edie. Like, they've learned that lesson enough in the Big Ten, I think.
But yeah, I, Nah, because he's still more like with Edie. I feel like he's more of a post score rebounder than he is a defensive anchor. And so, I think he's going to get picked on a lot, you know, on the next level.
Yep. Yeah, it's just hard for me to take a big that isn't at least a shot blocker, you know, immediate rim protector. I think Edie will be fine as a rim protector, but I don't think he's like an active shot blocker because he's not going to be as explosive, but or at least a floor spacer. And I just don't see a world where he does either at an elite enough level to make up for the fact that he's like exclusively a drop big.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else we haven't talked about here in that sort of late first round range that you like?
Let's see. Let me look here. You kind of touched on DJ.
How about like a Terrence Shannon Jr.?
That shot, age. Yeah. He's about to be 24. I think I'll pass for this team.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of gets a little thin once you start getting into like the after 35, it gets mm-hmm. a little thin. Maybe Trey Alexander. I like his versatility as a guard.
That's the next KCP kind of guy to me. Cause like he's a little maybe more dynamic offensively, but not really a point guard. Not really big enough to guard threes necessarily. So he's kind of like a 3-and-D guard, basically. So I like him. I think he's a guy that if he's like starting in the playoffs in 2 years on the Denver Nuggets, we're all going to be like, how did this guy fall to 30?
Right.
But the ceiling is kind of interesting, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to see who else. I mean, yeah, that is, it gets a little thin after that. It gets a little thin, man.
I'll give you two names here that are guys that I like, that are kind of falling later than I would have thought, to be honest with you. And the first one here is Jalen Tyson, Cal's guard. He started at Texas and then went to Texas Tech and has been at Cal this year. Is going to be 21 on draft night. He's been kind of a 3-and-D wing for Texas Tech and now, is basically like an on ball heliocentric super creator for Cal's offense. So like he does everything. The percentages probably aren't as good, based on how good a shooter I actually think is. It's kind of a wonky shot, but he like makes them when he takes a good look. He's also the guy that gets stuck with sort of the grenades for their team too, which I think hurts the percentages a little bit, but like a big 6'7" initiator, the same kind of vibe. Like this is a dude that ends up in the Miami Heat and he's starting in 2 years and we're doing the like, how did this kind of thing happen? I think so. I don't know if you've seen Tyson at all yet, but he's a guy I would give a watch.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna have to add to my list, man.
Let's see. Any others? I'm not even seeing this guy. Oh, he's 60th on the consensus mock, so I'm probably much higher than him than the rest of the world. I would take UC Santa Barbara's AJ Mitchell with a late first round pick and not even think twice about it. 6'5".
They got him 60th?
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I think he's so good.
What?
He would just like murder people in pick and roll. I think the 3-point volume, I think, is something that people have kind of given him shit for. He takes like 2 threes a game, but he makes a pretty good percentage of them. But a lot of mid range, a lot of creative finishing, a lot of drive and kick kind of stuff for people. I think he's the dude that would just come in and be solid right away as like a third guard for a team.
Yeah, he seems like one of them type Heat players that just like, and pick up and you're like, who is this guy, you know, that just goes off for 20 on you? You just never heard of.
Who is Gabe Vincent? Oh shit, now he's starting on a finals team, you know, like that.
Exactly.
That sort of vibe. Yeah, that's a dude that I watch every time and I'm like, how is this guy not higher on lists here? So all right, let's maybe just spend a couple minutes on just other I'd take a flyer on kind of guys. The Phoenix Suns pick is owed to the Wizards in the second round. So right now it's projected to be the 48th pick. So just some guys in that range on here. Tyrese Proctor from Duke, Aaron Bradshaw, center from Kentucky, Tyler Kolek, the point guard from Marquette, Baba Miller, a forward slash center for Florida State, Dylan Mitchell from Texas, those kind of names. Anyone you'd like to see them just kind of take a big swing on in that, like, you know, 48 to 50 kind of range?
Let's see here. See, in that range, I'm trying to find a guy that has a skill that I can bank on. Like, okay. Like I know you can shoot, or I know you can pass, or I know you can be a defender.
Like a Baylor Shireman out of Creighton, just like a knockdown shooter kind of guy.
Yeah, like somebody like you got to have a superpower there that I know. All right, I can take that, plug you in, and maybe get some use out of you. Because at that point, I'm not expecting, you know, a guy that you know, to carry the franchise. I'm
right. Just turns into the all-star, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm not getting Nikola Jokic there. I know I'm not getting that.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm trying to get like a role player that maybe a couple years down the line, maybe he's like my seventh man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best path to that for a lot of these guys is the shooting. So
okay. Yeah.
Let's see. I gotta
like an Alex Caravan out of UConn, kind of.
I mean, honestly, I like AJ Mitchell. Honest, I mean, if we just talking about like just a shooter, like, I mean, he doesn't have the 3-point value you want, but I mean, everything else.
Yeah,
I mean, he's an 85% free throw shooter.
He'll shoot it. Right, there's no world to me where he's not gonna shoot it. Yeah,
there's no reason. Like, there's no reason why he wouldn't be able to shoot the NBA three.
Yep.
So somebody like that, man, or maybe we sitting at 48. It's like, right after all the guys I want. I'm looking at this Tinkathon mock.
If you get up to like, 38,
all the guys I want is gone.
Yep.
This is tough, man. This is tough at that range. They might need to take some of them picks to try to get up, like get up into the top 40. And then I think you can get a guy.
I think what you said, though, about taking a guy that either has an elite skill, like that's one way to go. At this point, I would also just say, like, it's a pick that nobody's expecting me to hit on. So maybe I'll take the biggest swing possible. Like, so looking at like 44 and 45 on this consensus mock, is Duke's guard Tyrese Proctor and Kentucky center Aaron Bradshaw. These are two guys that coming into the year, people probably had projected lottery. And for various reasons, Bradshaw didn't play early because of an injury and sort of weirdly fallen out of the rotation there after a good start. Proctor, similar stuff, honestly, had some injury things. Like, these are guys that at least at some point people saw enough there to have really high on their boards. I would maybe take like a big swing at that and just say, like, it's a shit draft. If Aaron Bradshaw, former 5-star recruit, turns into something, I win. If he doesn't, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Tyrese Proctor, man. I mean, I guess his superpower would be kind of just his cerebralness, running the offense.
Yeah, it's floor solid. General.
He's kind of like a 6'5" Tyrese, right?
Size. So
I could see something like that. Maybe at that range, you get your backup point guard for the next 6 years, 6-7 years. You take that all day long.
Mentioned Shireman from Creighton. He'll be 23, almost 24 on draft night. But dude who started as a low to mid-major player, shot the shit out of it, has not had the same percentage, but he clearly still shoots in the high 30s and is a knockdown guy. We were exchanging a couple messages, Dom, about this, about a video you sent me about LeBron talking to J.J. Redick about taking older, proven guys that aren't really the potential players, but these guys that kind of immediately slot in and play a role. To me, Shireman is like a guy that he's 6'4". He creates a little bit, defends okay, but you know he's just going to immediately shoot the shit out of it from day one. If I'm a playoff team, that's the kind of guy I'm looking at. If I were the Wizards, I would maybe want to swing a little bit bigger than an almost 24-year-old. I don't know. Would you take him off your board, or would you consider him just based on the shooting?
Yeah, I mean... I say, at that point, you're not going to get the perfect prospect. So even, you know, his age, I kind of wince at a little bit. But if the shot is real, I mean, at 6'7", like, yeah, come on. We need shooters. Like, this roster needs shooters, man. Like, and I mean real shooters, not, you know, they only shoot when they got 10 feet of space. You know, they only can hit from certain spots. I mean, like, you know, like Davis Bertan was, you know, for us.
You have all the time in the world. God, that hurts me. Yeah, that's one of the ones I'll never be able to kind of forgive the Wizards for, but let's not go there. Joe Swim asked in the chat about Jalen Bridges from Baylor. It's an interesting guy to me. Swingy, probably a four in the NBA, I would think, but athletic, shoots it. Can't probably guard five, so you can't really go small ball with him too much. And I don't know that he's going to guard super well on the perimeter. So I'd be a little hesitant to go for a guy like that in the kind of ranges that the Wizards will pick in personally. But I don't think he's a bad player or anything like that.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree. It's just the positional fit in the NBA. Like, where does he go? You know, you got a post player skill set, but a but a wing player body. Where I'm gonna put you?
I think he can shoot it. It's just I don't think he can be like exclusively on the wing enough to really matter. Another one here. Josue Gonzalez mentioned this. The Miami guys, Wooga Poplar, a little undersized for me, but also Matthew Cleveland. I have so much left over Matt Cleveland stock from when he got to Florida State. And every year for the last 3 years, I've said, this is the year that we get the Matthew Cleveland breakout. And he's been pretty good, but he's the guy that looks the part of an NBA wing. He just can't really put it all together. And now he's another guy that's like getting a little older here. I bet he probably doesn't get drafted, but he's a dude that I would be calling about a two-way just to take a shot on. You know, maybe he sort of, figures that out. Yeah. And Cole Green, I see you in the chat here, mentioned a French player whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce. We're kind of sticking more toward NCAA tournament guys here for today. I'll do some homework for next time, but having not seen him play, it would be a very uneducated analysis at this point. All right. Okay. Never makes no sense. Asked about Cam Spencer. Cam Spencer's an interesting one. His older brother, Pat Spencer, I think local fans will probably remember the story here. Was the best lacrosse player in the country, basically, and then chose to continue staying in school and play basketball. I went to Northwestern to do that at the end of his career and hung around the Capital City Go-Go for a while. And is now on a two-way contract with the Golden State Warriors. So naturally, we didn't think he was good enough, but somehow the Warriors have found a spot for him. So figure that one out. Cam's a better shooter and tough as shit and moves the ball well. Same kind of thing. If the guy ends up on a two-way contract, I'd give him that and never look back.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
All right, Dominic, I think that's all I got for you here, man. Anyone else you want to mention or throw out that, you know, going to be playing in the tournament that you think people should at least keep an eye on?
Not really. I think we didn't kind of hit on the heavy hitters, man. I mean, this tournament is just going to be like kind of a crapshoot, I would say, because there's no dominant team. There's not even really a dominant player, so it's going to be interesting. I hope we get some like legendary performances and a guy. I just love seeing a guy like kind of seize this moment and just see their stock go up by having a great March.
There's like a lot of analysis that like been done over the years about guys that are kind of like meh on people's boards and then they blow up in the tournament and people like overreach to take them. But I can also give a lot of examples of people just people didn't pay attention to and then you had to because of the tournament. So I don't necessarily buy that that's a bad thing. And I'm with you. Like, I want to see someone just like capture the moment because that's the kind of guy I think you would want to try to, you know, go out and look forward to.
Yeah. Somebody go after Reed Shepard, man. I still can't. Him being the best college prospect.
Four was crazy. I thought I was going to look and see and be like 8, 9, 10, something like that. But four is tough.
Yeah. Yeah. He can hoop though. I don't want to make it seem like I'm not a fan of his game. A fan of his game, I think he's going to be a 10-year plus pro starter. I don't see top three pick though.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. Cole Green asked in the chat, UConn Cam Spencer is a different guy than Lax Cam Spencer, right? The brother that played lacrosse was Pat Spencer. So maybe Cam also played, but I think they were a lacrosse family. So it's kind of wild that they're just good as shit at both sports. Must be nice. All right, Damo, most important question I ask every show here. Where can people find your stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's all on my Twitter page, man. Damo8186. Got the link to the pod there. Wizards of Gallery Place with my man, Brenda. Check us out.
Awesome. All right, everybody. You know the drill. Click that little like button for us. Hit subscribe. We always appreciate that stuff, too. If you want to leave a review on iTunes, we'll never say no to that either. So thanks. We're presented by betonline.ag, and we will catch you all next time.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.